The book of Daniel to the 9th chapter with me, and tonight I want to talk with you just a little bit about God's Word. I'm going to change this mic over here if Brother Bobby doesn't care. I've already got used to it being on this side of me, and I feel kind of awkward with it on the other side. Now then, as I said, I want to teach you just a little bit tonight, if you will allow me to do it. From the book of Daniel in the 9th chapter, we want to begin down at the 24th verse. And I'd like to take my time tonight. I won't hold you long. It doesn't take so very long to go into this. And if you listen real close, we'll just try to teach the Word of God just as simple as we can and move as quickly as we can and get our spirits right into the Spirit of God and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth tonight and enjoy the wonderful presence of Almighty God. You know, as I look and see the end of time coming, I don't know of anything that makes me feel any better than to know that I can stand behind the sacred desk and speak to the people about the soon coming Christ. I want to be able, when I stand before the Lord, to know that I've had a testimony in the earth for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have no other goal in life. I have no other interest in life but to do the will of God and see the things of God and to hear the Lord at the end of the way say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So then tonight, let's turn to the book of Daniel, the 9th chapter, and read a little bit from, I think I'll start here, maybe at the 19th verse, that you might get some idea of what we're doing here and you might be able to get your spirits into it. Remember, God is a spirit. Paul said, "The God whom I serve with my spirit." And then we're told that the men of old, such as Moses and Elijah and those people back in that day, that they endured as seeing him who is invisible. And certainly tonight, the only way that a true child of God can make it through this life is to endure as seeing him who is invisible. Paul said he is the invisible God. And Daniel was a man that fasted, he prayed, he sought God daily, and God looked upon Daniel in the same way that he did David of old. And when the angel appeared to Daniel during the time of his fast, the angel spoke to Daniel and said, "Oh, Daniel, thou beloved man of God." Wouldn't you love to have the angel of God to come and stand by your bedside or come and stand by your side while you was in prayer or seeking God and hear him say, "Oh, thou beloved man of God." Think about that. You have people to call you a man of God, but when God himself takes the liberty of sending to you an angel of Almighty God and the angel of God says, "Oh, thou beloved man of God." That would really make me feel good to have somebody to do something like that that I know was sent right from the presence of Almighty God. Reading here, if you'll notice in the 19th verse, says, "O Lord." Now remember, Daniel is praying to God. He's pouring out his spirit and his heart to God. And whether you know or not, Daniel was down in the land of Babylon. Remember, this was after the captivity of the children of Israel. Nebuchadnezzar had been raised up, and he had gone off into the land there to capture the children of Israel. And the tribes had been split in the days of the reign of Solomon. And so it was 10 tribes went one way, and 2 tribes went another way. And when they split up and they began to be at enmity with each other, then it was that the enemy rose up and came in and began to possess their lands. Always remember, where there's unity, there is strength. And when we're together in the unity of the faith, then there is never any place for Satan to get in. The Bible said not to give place to the devil. And remember, when there is division, there is every evil work. When there is confusion, Satan will come into the midst of us and there will be trouble. And so it was in that day when the kingdoms began to be divided. Then the devil was lurking in the shadows. and he began to move. And God was stared on his throne because of this thing. And so it was, Nebuchadnezzar was raised up. And as the Bible said of Jesus, he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. The children of Israel began to learn obedience. Nebuchadnezzar went up and he took part of the children into bondage. And it wasn't very long before the other part was taken into bondage. And here in the midst of all the troubles and all the trials, we find Daniel seeking God, a man of about 21 or 22 years old, I suppose, just a young man. But we see him fasting and praying and pouring out his heart to God. He's fasting before God, and he vowed within his heart, and he promised God, I will not defile myself with the king's meat. And he separated himself, just as the Hebrew children separated themselves in their time. Daniel separated himself from those things of the world. And though he was compelled to be in the midst of it, though he had a position to fulfill in the kingdom, yet Daniel took time to be holy. Daniel took time to pray, and he took time to seek after God. And here he is one day, he's on his face before God, he's fasting and he's praying, and he's seeking God right here in the midst of Babylon captivity, and he's crying out to the Lord, and he's saying, how long, O God, how long will you leave us here with our enemies, and in the midst of the troubles and trials of this land of Babylon, how long, O God, before you'll give us our liberation and restore the walls of Jerusalem and let us go back into our homeland? And you remember how they came to Daniel and came to David and came to the Hebrew children, those that were in captivity during their times, and they would say to them, play a song to us. Remember, God's people, as I said a little bit ago, they always have a song within their heart. There's something that causes them to be inspired and causes them to be able to write songs and sing songs. I don't know just what it is, but it seems like all of God's people are songwriters. And I remember how that in the days of Moses, when somebody came to Moses, they said, Moses, sit down in the camp, there's somebody prophesying down there. And Moses said, I would to God that all the people of God were prophets. And I believe that all the people of God are really prophets to the extent that they are the body of Christ. And the Bible said he's the prophet that was likened to Moses. So then we find here that they would come to them, they'd say, sing us a song, play to us on the harp. But I noticed that when they began to approach the children of Israel, they would say, how can we sing? We're in a strange land, and there's no song within our heart. We've hung our harps upon the willows, and we can't sing because we're in a strange land. And have you ever noticed that when we err from the Spirit of God, and we get out of the presence of the Lord, and we get out there on the devil's territory, when we get into Babylonian captivity, it seems the song within our heart, it leaves us, and we can't seem to sing a song anymore. But I'll tell you, when we get in the Spirit of God, serving God is joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. And when we serve God from the abundance of the heart, then we've got a song within our heart. When we're in our homeland, we've got a song within our heart. And the children of Israel here, I want you to notice as we start reading in the 19th verse here, that you might get a real understanding of what's going on. I want you to notice that the children of Israel, they have been driven out of their homeland. Notice in the 19th verse, Daniel is putting forth his petition. His supplication is going forth. And he says, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mounting of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and he informed me and talked with me, and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to shew thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecies and to anoint the most holy. Now that I want you to especially notice the words of Daniel. We find here the angel said, Daniel, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Now in the book of Jeremiah, I believe it is, if you'll turn, you'll find in the book of Jeremiah, I'm not going to try to go to it tonight, but if anybody desires to know where it's at, we'll give it to them tonight at the service if you'll come to him. In the book of Jeremiah, I believe it is, here we find that Jeremiah was seeking God. And God spoke to Jeremiah and told him, said, I will give you 1 year for a day. As I bring the judgments of God upon Israel, I'll give you 1 year for a day. And here it is. There's 70 weeks here. And he tells, remember, God tells Daniel, Daniel, there is 70 weeks determined upon thy people. Now that if you've got your pencils, you take your pencils tonight and you put down, if you can figure a little bit here, you put down 70 weeks. Put down your 70 weeks tonight. Now, and I'm going to take my time tonight and see if we can just go through this in a way to where you can understand it. Not to preach through it. A message like this, you just can't preach through it. You just have to teach it. And I think that we need some understanding tonight. Remember, when the angel came to Daniel, he said, I am come, Daniel, to give thee skill and understanding. The Bible said the righteous would understand, but the wicked would not understand. Then the Bible tells us that we must grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Now then, 70 times 7. 70 weeks, Daniel, are determined upon thy people. 70 weeks, and there's 7 days to a week. So we're going to say 7 times 70. Now then, when you get it figured out, 7 times 70, I'll ask you, and then you can correct me if I'm wrong. 7 times 70 is 490. Is that right? 490 what? Days. Now then, a day is as a year in this prophecy. So that would be 490 years. Daniel, there is 490 years determined upon thy people. Remember, Daniel's people was Jews because Daniel was a Jew. There is 490 years determined upon thy people, Daniel. And this is to make an end of sin. After this 400 years, Daniel, there will not be any more sin. This is to finish the transgression of Adam, so to speak. And it's to make an end of sins. And to make reconciliation for iniquity. And to bring in everlasting righteousness. Notice that now. It wasn't to bring in a new order. It wasn't to bring in a new order of religion of some type or a new teaching. But it was to bring in everlasting righteousness, that it might be from now on. Then he tells him here, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, listen real close now, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now we've got 60, which is 60. A score is 20. 60. Then we've got 7 weeks, which makes 67 weeks. And then we've got 2 more weeks, which makes 69 weeks. Now then we've got 69 weeks here. All right. Now, 7 times 69, 483. Is that right? You tell me now if I don't get this right. We have to go along together. 483. Now then, that's 483 years. 483 years. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. Now, this is not a preacher that's telling Daniel this. This is a messenger from the presence of God, and there's no mistake in it. There's no guesswork in it, but it's just as the angel tells Daniel. It's right straight from the throne of God. Now then, he said, Daniel, it will be a troublesome time. He said, but I want you to know that from the time that the commandment is given to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem unto Jesus Christ the Messiah shall be, as we figured it here, 483 years. From that time until the Messiah will be 483 years. Let's set unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. Notice that now. After 62 weeks, then he said the Messiah, which is the Lord Jesus, shall be cut off. Now, the first thing he said was there will be a commandment given to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem unto the Lord Jesus. Now then, the commandment that was given to rebuild those walls was given in the days of Nehemiah. It was given to Nehemiah. You remember how that Nehemiah stood around the king, and the king said, why art thou so sorrowful? Why is it you're the king's cupbearer? Why is it that you're so sorrowful? Why do you look so cast down? And he said, it's because the city of my people lay waste. He said, the gates have been burned. The walls have been torn down. And the city of my people lay waste. God was dealing with Nehemiah's heart. Remember this. When a preacher comes to preach you a message, you receive the message because the preacher doesn't come of himself. When somebody begins to do something, it's because God is stirring them for a specific purpose. And so it was with Nehemiah. Nehemiah began to get stirred. He didn't know why he was stirred, but he just couldn't rest. The Spirit of God stirred him, and he fasted, and he prayed, and he cried out to God, the Bible said. And he began to say, Lord, rebuild the walls. Why? Because it was the time and the season for the restoration of the wall. And God, who works all things after the counsel of his own will, began to move on Nehemiah. He was the chosen vessel for that hour, and God began to move on him. And so it was, the king said, Nehemiah, why are you so sorrowful? And he said, King, he said, I want to go build the walls back. And the king said, Nehemiah, then you can go build them back. I'll give order to the men that's got charge of the forest, and they'll give you sufficient lumber and all that you need to build back the walls. The people mocked him. They made fun of him. The Bible said God holds the king's heart within his hand, and he turns it whithersoever he will, like the rivers of water. And so it was at God's appointed season. He just took a hold of the king's heart, and he just turned it wherever he would, just as he got ready to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Now then, after the commandment is given to rebuild those walls to the Lord Jesus Christ, then he said, notice after that time, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. Now notice that. After 62 weeks, which I believe is 434 years, is that right? 7 times 62, 434 days or years, as we would term it. Now then, he said after 434 years, he said, then the Lord Jesus is going to be cut off at the cross. The Messiah is going to be cut off, but said not for himself, but for the sake of his people, he shall be cut off. And you can check history if you want to show you that God don't make mistakes. I've been back and I've checked the Bible history on it and I've got it wrote down. And from the time that angel spoke until the time Jesus comes, it is estimated as near as they can get it, about 500 years, just as the angel said it would be. And then Jesus, the Messiah, was cut off at the cross. And he wasn't cut off because of his own sins, but he was cut off because of his people's sin. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now then, he said, after this takes place, he said, there will be a great prince that shall come into the land, and he shall come with a great army, and he shall overflow the land, and said he shall destroy the sanctuary. I want you to notice the hand of God in this now. If you've never studied Bible history, you won't understand this, but you can listen to what I've got to say and kind of piece it together. When the prince came, and that prince was Titus, Bible history says he came in 70 A.D., and that prince was Titus, and he came down upon Jerusalem, and he plowed the city like it was just a field. The Bible bears record of it. And there was thousands and thousands and thousands of people that were literally slaughtered. If you've ever read the book of Josephus, you know that's true. I've studied some in the book of Josephus. And Josephus said the city of Jerusalem was literally plowed just like a man would take a plow and stick it into the ground and plow a field. There was blood everywhere. People laying everywhere. Titus came in 70 A.D. with a great army and literally destroyed Jerusalem. And then notice the thing that God said. He said, and the sanctuary shall be destroyed. How many of you know that when Titus came in there, that he wasn't planning to destroy the sanctuary? He had no intentions of destroying the sanctuary. But during the fighting and during all the trouble, somebody stuck fire to the sanctuary and it was burned to the ground, just like the Lord said it would be destroyed. He wouldn't suffer to stay there and be desecrated by those people. And so it was burned to the ground. Then he says, notice here, reading on down in the 26th verse, the latter part, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now notice that. He said here that the end thereof shall be with a flood. Waters mean people. Just a great body of people, he said, shall be with a flood, just an overflow of death. And then he says here, unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And so it is that the desolation of lives, the desolation of the Spirit of God was determined. The desolation of lives was determined unto the end here. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now then, notice this. Let's drop back for just a few minutes now to make sure that we can get a clear picture of it. How many of you remember that when Daniel saw the great image, that God showed it to him in a vision, after Nebuchadnezzar had had a dream, and the great image stood before him, and he didn't know what to say about it, and he didn't understand it. And then Daniel saw it in a vision, and he went before the king and he interpreted. How many of you remember that? And he told him, he said, the head is gold. And he said, from the head down to the waistline, he said, it's silver. And from there on down, he said, it's brass. And then the thighs, he said, they are iron. And then he said, the toes. He said, and the feet, they are made of iron and of clay. And then when we see it in our day and we break it down, then we know as Bible scholars that first part, which was the head, was the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. He was a great ruler that ruled all the land. Though it has other spiritual significance, we can't bring it out tonight. But just to get the literal side of it, to where you can understand the 70 weeks of Daniel. And so it was, the head of it was gold. And it was the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. And then the chest of it was silver. which was the Medes and the Persians' kingdom that came in and overthrew Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. And then it was that the brass part of it was Alexander the Great that came in his day and overrun the nations and took Babylon and set up his own kingdom. And then we come down to the iron part, which most of us know was the Catholic kingdom or the Roman kingdom as it came in, and it took control of all the land and it dominated all the world. And then it came right down to the iron and the clay, which was mingled together and they would not mix, which we know according to the prophet's teachings. He made the statement, and I believe it's true. Maybe I never seen it just like he put it when he spoke of Eisenhower and of Khrushchev. I'd never seen that part of it, but I believe what he said, because the rest that I had received corresponds with it. And he spoke of Eisenhower's name being, the definition of it being iron, and the definition of Khrushchev's name being clay. And he spoke of the conference that we had of the United Nations where Khrushchev took his shoe and he bound it down on the desk. You remember the papers? I carried the story and how that Eisenhower and Khrushchev could not come together. But the major thought is this, that the United Nations, which is really Catholic, or will go to the Catholic teaching, and Russia, which will go to communism, this is the way I see it, those two nations will not mix. Those two nations will not mix. Though communism and Catholicism will bind themselves together for a work, yet they will not mix. And in the end, as Revelation records, the desolation of the great whore, it says, is come in 1 hour, which means that communism will at last rise up and burn that city to the ground. After that, God has finished using the Catholic Church to bring in the teachings of the Antichrist. Now then, notice this. I don't want to say too much tonight to confuse you, but I want you to be sure to get the solid foundation of the 70 weeks of Daniel. When Daniel was seeking God at another time, all of this pertains to Daniel, and God speaking to him about the same identical thing, but just in a different manner. And you remember how Daniel was seeking God, and the Bible said all of a sudden, four winds came together over the waters, and the four winds began to wrestle over the waters. And Daniel couldn't understand it, and God made him to know the interpretation thereof. Then when I talked with God, this is what I got out of it. Winds mean powers. Winds mean power. There is four powers that's wrestling over the people. For waters mean people. And those four winds are wrestling together over the people to get control of the people. And this is what the Spirit of the Lord showed me while I was out in California. He showed me that those four winds was four powers, and every one of them starts with a C. It was communism. Communism is wrestling over the people or the waters to try to dominate the world. Then Catholicism is wrestling over the waters, trying to control the world. And then capitalism from the United Nations is wrestling over the waters, trying to rule the world. And then Christianism is wrestling over the waters, for it is foreordained of God that Christianism shall rule the world. And those four great powers, one from Jerusalem, one from Russia, one from the United Nations, and one from Rome. Those four great powers are wrestling over the waters to try to take dominion of the people. But we know that God is going to triumph in the end. I wish that we could bring out something else on that. But if I do, we'll get too far off of our major subject tonight. Notice now, these powers, it came right on down until the Catholic kingdom was set up and it ruled the world according to history. And there was about 1,000 years of the Dark Age that set in back yonder many years ago, when all of the teachings went out of all of the light of God, all the teachings of the apostles went out, and there was a complete darkness. They don't even hardly have a historical record of it, because it was such a bad time. Now then, but notice here, he said that after this time, the Messiah shall be cut off for his people. Now then, we figure the time here, and we come up to 434 years. Was that the last figure you got? 434 years. And then it said the Messiah shall be cut off. Then 70 AD, Titus came in, plowed the city and he slew the people. And the sanctuary was burned. Now then, notice this. God deals with his people, you and I, the spiritual Jew, as individuals. He said, let every man work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. That's the Gentiles. But he deals with Jerusalem as a nation. For he said, a nation shall be born in one day. And whatever happens to Jerusalem happens as a nation, where it happens as an individual unto us. And so it was that after 70 A.D., they were driven out of their homeland. And the time that the angel spoke of concerning the 490 years stopped when they were driven out in 70 A.D. There was no more time counted from the time they were driven out in 70 A.D. until the year of 1948 when they came back into their homeland. And this prophecy of the angel began to count again. From the year 48 until the year of 65 that we're in now, those years are counted in the prophecy. But from the year of 70 A.D. until the year of 48, they were not counted in the prophecy. Now notice this. Now on our last figures, let's take our time a little here so we can be sure to get the latter part of this straight. Won't be confusing. Now then, we're told here that after 434 years, the Messiah would be cut off. Now, as far as I can tell, that takes us right up to the cross experience. Jesus was about 30 years old when he started his ministry. And he preached about 3 years. And then after about 3 years of ministry, he went to the cross, he was crucified, and was cut off for his people. How many of you remember Daniel speaking of the dividing of times? Let me see your hand. The dividing of times, B.C. to the cross, A.D. from the cross. And here it is, we find right here that 434 years expired from the time the angel spoke to Daniel until they nailed Jesus to the cross. And then from the cross on up to 70 A.D., that time was counted. Now let's see if we can find it in here. Maybe you can figure it out for me. If we take 434 years from 490 years, how much do we have left? Can somebody figure it for me right quick? Subtract 434 years from 490 years, and you got 56 years left. Is that right? All right. You got 56 years when you subtract 434 from 490. Now, you've got to figure your time from the time Jesus was 33 years old until 70 A.D. and see how many years you've got from the time that he was 33 years old until Titus came in 70 A.D. Who's going to figure it for me? You tell me how many years it is? I've got some writings here, but they all jumble up. It's been a long time since I preached this. I used to could teach it without even going to any reference. But anybody figured it up? You want me to say it again? Jesus was 33 years old when he died on the cross. And from the time that he was 33, remember, from the time he was 33 until 70 A.D., how many years would it be? You got it? 37 years. You got it? About 37 years. And we had 56 years. Now let me see if I can get this together here. We had 56 years. And now we've got 37 years to subtract from the 56 years. How many does that leave you? 19 years. Got it? All right, let's go through it again now so you'll understand what we're doing. There was 434 years from the time the angel spoke to Daniel and told him that the Messiah would be cut off. From that time until the Messiah was cut off, which was Jesus' crucifixion at the cross, There was 434 years of the 490 years, which was the 70 weeks determined upon the people. 434 from 490 left us 56 years. But remember, we couldn't stop at the cross because it went on until 70 A.D. The people wasn't driven out of their homeland until 70 A.D. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? The angel spoke of the time the Messiah would be cut off. And he said it would be 62 weeks till that time. But he didn't stop counting the years. It went on until 70 A.D. when the people were driven out of their homeland, and it wasn't counted anymore from 70 A.D. when Titus came in, until the year of 1948, when the angel of God drove the people back into their homeland, and at the same time, because the Jew people and the spiritual Jew parallel, at the very same time, the angel of God appeared to William Branham to bring the spiritual Jew back into their homeland. What the natural Jew does, the spiritual Jew does. So then notice now, there was 56 years left when he was cut off at the cross, but we had to count from that time until 70 A.D., which gave us 37 more years to add to the 434 years. Have you got that? Have you got it? Your 37 years was to be added to your 434 years. How many does that give you? How many? 471. I'm just taking y'all's word for it. 471 subtracted from 490 leaves how many? Leaves 19 years. Now then, let's begin in the year of 48 and take this last 19 years that was left of the prophecy that was concerning the 490 years or the 70 weeks. Remember, at the year of 70 A.D., we only had 19 years left. Is that right? So then in 48, when we start back, we've got 19 years left. From 48 to 58 is 10 years. From 58 to 68 is 10 more years, which makes 20 years. So that would make your 19 years be used up in 57. Is that right? Or 67? Is that right? Your years would be used up in the year of 67. But remember, there was a 3-year mistake in the setting of Jesus' birth. How many of you know that's true? So then, somewhere in here, there is 3 years that's off somewhere in here, because Satan did not want us to know the exact time, and even God would not let us know the day and the hour. And so it is, we find that we come up to 19 and 67, and the 19 years is expired. It expires in the year 67. That leaves us 68, 69, 70. And the church has to be raptured out about 3 years before the final consummation, because there has to be 3 years of tribulation for the Jew to go through. How many of you know that's true? That makes it look like to me that the rapture would have to take place somewhere between the year of 66 and 67. Now then, I won't go into what I said last night, because you that were here heard me speak of how that the prophet of God had predicted the end by 77. And I said that it looked to me like it would come around the year 70. And then it was said that the prophet of God spoke and said that 63 of our calendar was 70 with the Jews, which would make this 77, if it fall in that manner, fall in the year of 70, just as this seems to show here, which would make a final consummation in the year of 1970. And by that time, the church would have gone out 3 years before. You understand that? He said the millennium would come in 77. If that be so, then that's 3 years from the time of the rapture. Now then, as a confirmation of these things, I just want to point out one or two things, and I'm going to close. You've been real patient. You listen good. Now then, isn't it a true fact that by 1970, They predict that they'll be able to reach the moon. They already have what they call the Telstar, I believe, that creates an international communication by bouncing waves off of that satellite, which is a type of the body of Jesus Christ, everything being allegories, all the invisible things of God seen by the things that appear through the spiritual eye. And so we see an international communication which symbolizes and types and shadows that the church has come to perfect unity. And then we have interstate highways that are going to be completed, as far as we know, by the year 70. Another perfect allegory of the gospel. I can't go into all those things tonight, but if you can see them. They predicted by the year of 1970 that there will be a worldwide famine, which also indicates the lack of spiritual food or the final consummation. Now then, there's so many other things that we could go into, but just those few things alone proves to me that something is going to happen in the year of 1970 that's never happened to the world before. Do you agree? Now, I'd love for you to consider these things tonight. All I'm doing is just preaching the word to you to the best of my ability. It's up to you to understand it, and I'd like for you to consider these things in connection with the other things that we spoke of. Come back tomorrow night and be with us and see if we can get into a little more of the Word of God.